I am Grace Klaus. I'm one of the chaplains of discipleship here at Hope. And I want to introduce to you, for those of you who don't already know her, Carly Henkel. She is interning with us in campus ministries this year. She's a student at Western, has worked in ministry at Real Life Fellowship for a number of years, and is now with us. So we are revisiting Acts today, and Carly is going to share the scripture with us.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth we may find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Hear today the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carly. What is to prevent me from being baptized? This is what I want you to realize. The answer to the eunuch's question, what is to prevent me from being baptized, is that he's an Ethiopian eunuch. I want you to understand the force of that. Yes, it's just one thing, but it's a very significant thing. This man is identified by it. It's the shame he carries within him. It's the whispers he hears when other people walk by. It's that one thing that he can't get over. This Ethiopian eunuch is, in other respects, an average guy. He had a decent childhood. His parents sang to him and took him out for ice cream. He did well in school and liked to read. Even now, he's working in the Queen's court as her top finance guy. And he has this persistent curiosity about the Jewish faith. In a world where the religious options were wild and diverse and sometimes even repulsive, the Ethiopian eunuch finds comfort in the Jewish faith, which seems so sane and peaceable. He often rides up in his chariot to Jerusalem to worship. For years, his dream has been to join the Jewish faith, to become a member of the family of God. But there's this obstacle. He's a eunuch. He has read the scriptures. He knows what that means. He knows that eunuchs are tarnished, stigmatized, prohibited from the assembly of God. And he's Ethiopian. He's a foreigner, not a Hebrew. He knows he has no real, lasting place in the family of God, at least not as one who bears the family name. He bears a different name, Ethiopian eunuch. And for years he endures that. He lives with it. He goes up to Jerusalem to worship, and he devours the scriptures. But that's the end of it. He'll always be an Ethiopian. He'll always be a eunuch. He'll always be just on the edge, looking in at the family of God, longing to be a part of it. Because something significant prohibits him from being baptized. But of course, that's not really the end of it. This stranger named Philip is sent by the Holy Spirit to intercept the Ethiopian eunuch on his trip back from Jerusalem. The Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Jewish scriptures, something out of our Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't yet been written. And he's confused. He's smart enough to know that he's confused and even to know why he's confused. And he's smart enough to ask for help. He's been reading this passage about a man being led like a sheep to the slaughter. And he knows it's a prophet talking, but he doesn't know if the prophet is talking about himself or about someone else. So he asks Philip. And this is the perfect setup for Philip. This is one of those moments that Christians either long for or fear, one of those moments that you are asked point blank, who is Jesus? Philip has his answer ready. We don't know the full content of their conversation, but we do know that Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch through scripture, explaining passages like this one about the sheep and demonstrating how Jesus Christ fulfilled them. How God's love for the world and God's covenant with Israel is made perfect in Jesus Christ. And then Philip flips over to this passage in Isaiah that's just a little bit further than the one they'd originally been reading. And he says this, "Do not let the eunuch say, 'I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, 'For eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give within my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall never be cut off.'" For the first time in his life, the Ethiopian eunuch imagines himself not outside looking in at the family of God, eating their fill around the table. He imagines himself at the table, in God's house, within God's walls. He imagines a name for himself other than Ethiopian eunuch. He starts to put the pieces together. This vision where the eunuch doesn't have to be a dry tree, where the eunuch is given an everlasting name, this vision is possible because of Jesus Christ. It's more than possible. It's a reality because of the one who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And just as the whole thing is coming together in his heart, they pass a lake. The Ethiopian eunuch turns to Philip and asks, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And he knows the answer, or what it should be. He hears those whispers again, feels that shame. Ethiopian eunuch. But Philip says nothing. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Nothing. Instead, Philip responds, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's his confession of faith, his creed, The Ethiopian eunuch is beginning to understand that nothing stands between him and the family of God. And with nothing between him and the family of God, he can hear the Spirit beckoning him to baptism. And so he's baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a story for all of us, a story about nothing standing between us and the love of Jesus Christ. But now I'm talking to you folks who are right there with the Ethiopian eunuch. You're in the chariot, you're reading the Bible, you're coming to chapel and the gathering and a local church. You really do love God. And maybe you have a Philip in your life, somebody who is answering these questions for you, a Bible study leader or a friend or a pastor. But now you're by the lake. You're starting to wonder about baptism. And you're asking, what's keeping me from being baptized? And I'm asking, what is keeping you from being baptized? Nothing. Nothing that can't be overcome anyway. If shame is keeping you from being baptized, the good news is that Jesus Christ has overcome that. If fear is keeping you from being baptized, he's overcome that too. If it's questions that are keeping you from being baptized, then come see Dan and me. We want to offer a class to you, a baptism class. We want to be Philip for you. We want to join you in that chariot. There are 3 Sundays in November, November 2, 16, and 23, that we will meet in the basement of Dimnant at 6 p.m., and we want you, if you've got questions about baptism, to join us there. We want you to be baptized. We can't think of a thing more worth celebrating than the marking of a new member of the family of God. We don't want you to be that dry tree. We want you to be wet with the waters of baptism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.